Joining us right now on our KTAR Newsmaker line is Lieutenant Colonel Daniel L. Davis, retired. He is a foreign policy expert with ABC News, and we really are appreciative of having you here today. Obviously, foreign policy is in the news a little bit, sir, and our relationship with Russia. I wanted to start with you as someone who spent time in the military, over 20 years in active service, the perspective that you have when it comes to kind of today's Russia versus, dare I say, yesterday's Soviet Union, kind of a compare and contrast. Russia is very different today in many ways, but I get the sense that there's some similarities as well.
There are, and man, you've asked the right question. So the first time that I was in Europe, and I spent over 6 years living in Germany, and I was able to see both during the Cold War, kind of at its, when it started falling apart, and then afterwards. And there was a very strong contrast between both those. I was with the 2nd U.S. Cavalry actually patrolling the east-west border in the late 80s and early 90s when there was still, you know, the Cold War was fully in effect, and you had 50,000 tanks of the Warsaw Pact on the other side that could come through what they call the fold the gap at any time and roll to the west. And that was a legitimate concern. And you saw, you know, all the NATO countries in the west, and they were spending 3 to 4% GDP. You saw them with well-trained troops, with highly capable equipment, and they recognized it was a legitimate threat there. In today's world, though, many of those who were opposed to us in the Warsaw Pact are now on the NATO side, leaving Russia almost by itself. In military terms, practically are alone, and we've moved almost all the way up to the border there. So the threat now is substantially less, even though Russia has been improving their military, over the last decade or so in some meaningful ways. But it's still not just a fraction of the power that the Warsaw Pact had, and it's nothing even comparison to the total military weight of NATO today. So the threat is just in just black and white terms of military capability. It's a lot less today than it was in the late 90s during the Cold War, early 90s. But the thing that's the same and no difference is the fact that they're, you know, the world's largest in numerical terms nuclear power. And so when you have basically nuclear parity between the United States and Russia, and because of that, you can't take them lightly. You can't dismiss them. You have to deal with them on a legitimate basis.
Lieutenant Colonel, on a follow-up, on a foreign policy angle, though, are we giving them too much credence and too much credibility? Should we treat them more like Brazil with nuclear weapons? Or are we being appropriately concerned about their, dare I say, expansionist or trying to export their beliefs around the world?
You have to pay attention because you can't let your guard down because you don't want them to make even incremental gains at our expense. But I think the most important thing, and it's certainly the fallout from this summit yesterday, is that there has been far too much focus on style and far too little on substance. For example, there's some legitimate criticism of the president for making moral equivalency in some places, even saying, hey, we were responsible for some of these things. And there's, you know, the rumors or the jury's out on whether we were actually did some of those things. And it's very clear that Russia did have some activities within our 2016 election, and that's very clear. But underneath that, instead of kowtowing to Putin, instead of like basically deferring to him, you see when Trump sees our interest at stake, he does not hesitate to take bold and decisive action, like when he kicked out dozens of their diplomats, when he fired missiles into Syria opposed to their desires, and when he sent anti-tank missiles into the Ukraine, very much against their preferences and requests. So he does take action to defend America's interests, but he is absolutely right in trying to improve relations to at least an amicable state, because it is in our interest to not have an adversarial relation with the world's other nuclear weapons power.
We're talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line. And, sir, you know, we've heard a rebuke of the president's statements from both sides of the aisle, Democrats and some Republicans alike, taking him to task using a variety of words to describe what they witnessed yesterday. As a foreign policy analyst, I'm wondering, what is your take on how this is playing out across the globe? How is the rest of the world viewing yesterday's summit and display?
When you look at that, you have to compare at the same time what happened in NATO with the NATO summit and then what happened in Helsinki. And I think that what you see there is Frankly, there's a number of leaders and heads of states from across the globe, both on both sides of our friend or foe line, that probably don't like some of the things Trump is saying, and they maybe personally have a distaste for him, possibly even. But in terms of geopolitical strategic interest, I still think there is no doubt in anyone's mind, whether that's Stoltenberg or May or Merkel, who were, you know, kind of taken to task in that NATO summit publicly, they know that still their future lies with the United States, that we still are aligned in the substance and the things that really matter. And they know that, that Russia does not have our views, and that they certainly don't have any interest in going it alone against Russia. So I think that this will be a blip on the screen overall, because the baseline that has existed for decades continues to exist, and it's going to continue to exist when we have a no president.
We're speaking again with ABC News' foreign policy and defense analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Daniel L. Davis. Lieutenant Colonel, is this at the root of this? Is this about military expansionism, communism versus democracy, or is this an economic argument? Is this about things like oil and natural resources and trade? Where is it kind of, and maybe you can help also contrast to where it used to be.
Yeah, I think, again, you're really asking the right question. I think more than the economic aspects of this, I think that we're just stuck mentally in the Cold War, and that we still intellectually view Russia as the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union, because that's the reason why I think we still want to expand NATO even further and to get even closer to Russia's border. And I think the fear is just not justified, and doing so, frankly, works against our interests because it causes them to be more antagonistic than they need to be. And what we need to do is break out of that old mentality and look afresh at what is the geostrategic balance right now. What are military capabilities on both sides? What is the intent? What is the governing philosophy? And then what is the threat or risk to us? And what is the opportunity? Because there's opportunities there to have as well that lowers the security threat and raises the economic opportunities.
Thank you very much for your time today, good sir. That's ABC foreign policy and defense analyst, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel L. Davis, retired. We appreciate your time.